name is Kip Balcom. I'd like to recognize my co-authors, Francisco Arriaga, soil scientist. You've heard from him earlier today. Jason Bergtoll, ag economist, who was formerly at our location. Now he's assistant professor at Kansas State University. Charlie Mitchell, you just heard from him. And then Dennis Delaney, who's not here, but he's an extension agronomist with Auburn. I hope that my title is not too misleading for you. I am going to talk about these factors as they relate to cotton. But since we're going to be talking about conservation tillage, I want to also talk about other factors associated with that. And I hope that it will become apparent as I go through the presentation how all this stuff ties together. When we're talking about conservation tillage, obviously that implies, you know, a tillage aspect. You've heard Dr. Raper talking about tillage earlier this morning. There's certainly benefits associated with non-inversion tillage, minimizing surface soil disturbance, but really that's just one aspect. It really should talk about a conservation system. The other aspect, and really, in my opinion, the key component is the cover crop. And we're trying to, you know, in general, we're talking about a cereal crop, mostly rye in our cases. I think Charlie's talked about the, you know, our low organic matter soils. We're dealing with those ultisols on the coastal plain. So we're really trying to build up that organic matter by maintaining surface residues and also adding residues in the form of a cover crop. And then you have all the positive aspects associated with that, which is results in increased productivity and so forth. Now, just to focus on one management aspect of that cover crop, we're talking about trying to get high biomass levels, so we really want really need to apply fertilizer to that cover crop. Now, obviously, I wouldn't say you need to put out 90 pounds. This picture just kind of shows the illustration of the benefits you're going to get associated with, say, this type of residue versus one where you just plant a cover crop and don't really manage it or anything like that. So you can obviously see you get much better productivity potential out of this, the ones where we fertilized it. Now, we really need to, you know, make it clear to the growers, you know, that's a hard sell for them with the fertilizer prices like we have now. And I know everybody's aware of that. It's hard enough when the fertilizer prices were cheaper than they were now. Now that they've gone up, it's even tougher sell. So we really need to kind of show why that's important and also, you know, what kind of rates we're talking about. This is just some background information on another study where we looked at N rates on cover crops. This was actually following peanut residue. We were trying to get an effect from the peanut residue and see if we could get some nitrogen benefit from that. But we were not able to see any effect of the residue, so we just averaged it over the nitrogen rates. You can see here that dashed line, about 4,000 pounds. This is kind of a rough rule of thumb of what we refer to for a high residue system. The other thing to point out, we have 3 years of data there, and I think, you know, cover crops are just like our cash crops. Some years are better than others. We really had a good year for biomass production there in 2005. The next thing to point out is when we're recommending fertilizer rates for a cover crop, we generally talk about in the range of 30 to 60 pounds to the acre. Now, when the prices were a little bit more favorable, you know, we were leaning more, say, around 50 pounds or so. But now, you know, with the prices the way they are, the bare minimum or really the maximum would be around 30 pounds. And again, it comes back that it's hard to get growers to even put out that amount. So we really need to show how that's going to benefit them. And then thinking about that, and thinking about all this in terms of N fertilizer and the cost and so forth, we really wanted to look at what are some alternative sources, you know, or ways that we can lower this input expense. And of course, poultry litter is one thing that comes to mind. I think this is 2004 statistics, but you know, Alabama produced about 1 billion broilers, and of course, they produced a lot of manure, so that's got to be applied somewhere. So we thought about maybe being able to utilize this to the cover crop. You know, there's been a lot of studies, that's actually not a lot, but there's been studies in the past where it's looking at poultry litter applied to cotton, and also those are actually ongoing as well. There are some ongoing studies with cotton applied directly to cotton. Poultry litter applied directly to cotton. But we want to take a different approach and look at it to the cover crop, and since it's an organic source, you know, we can get some benefit to the cover crop, and then as that mineralizes more, get some benefits associated with the cotton crop. So our objectives are pretty simple. The first thing we wanted to focus on was the cover crop, looking at sources, rates, times of application, see what we can produce, how we can maximize our biomass, And then we wanted to look at the subsequent cotton lint yields across these different biomass levels, and we just had two side dress rates there. This study was conducted at the Wiregrass Extension Center. I don't know where the mouse is there. Down in Headland, Alabama, southeast corner of Alabama. It was initiated in 2005, so we have 2 years of data so far. This is an ongoing study. The soil types are Fuquay sand. And the data collection I'm just going to concentrate on today is just cover crop biomass and the lint yields. For our cover crop portion of the experiment, it was just a split plot experiment. We had timing, fall versus spring application, source, commercial in versus litter, and then the rates, and you can see the corresponding rates that we applied. This graph, just picture kind of shows one replication. I don't know why the numbers are bigger. Something happened there. Anyway, it just shows one rep. You have all the timing associated with that, the different rates, and then the sources. These plots are 8 rows wide on 36-inch center, so they're 24 feet wide and then 40 feet long. And then for the cotton portion of the experiment, we just came back and split those 4 rows on one side. We didn't apply any fertilizer. And then the other 4 we put out are the 90 pounds to the acre at side dress. Cultural practices, just briefly, we were trying to plant the rye there around early to mid-November. We applied the poultry litter the same day. We applied the fertilizer, which was ammonium nitrate. Approximately, we waited till after establishment, which was generally around the 1st of December. And then for our spring application, for both sources, we applied it in early February. Now, with cotton, we were planting around early to mid-May, used 555. Side dress was third week in June. And then our end source was 28%. I don't know why I didn't put the harvest date up there, but it was about mid-October for the cotton. If we're looking at available N from the poultry litter, you can see we're talking about, you know, 1, 2, and 3 tons to the acre. We're basing that kind of on a 50% total N available during the first year of application. And, you know, in some cases that might be too low, but that's what we used. We were really shooting for, like on these rates, to correspond to our 30, 60, and 90 pounds on the commercial N side. And really, that's, you know, in some cases we were a little high, some cases a little low, but I really think that it's pretty realistic of what's going to happen in a grower's field. You know, they're not going to adjust it to put out 0.87 tons to the acre to make it, you know, 30 pounds or whatever. So that's why I was trying to be more realistic like this. You know, one concern, of course, is applying this during the winter. You know, people worry about leaching losses, especially on these sandier soils that we have. But there's, you know, plenty of data that shows how rye is an excellent scavenger of nitrogen and nitrates in particular. So, I don't think we're losing any nitrogen over the winter by applying it, but, it's being taken up by the cover crop, but it's not necessarily, going to be available to the cotton crop. But, you know, that's going to be dependent on the mineralization and so forth. If we go into the results now, I should have put an ANOVA table up here, I guess, but the things I'm going to talk about are the ones that were significant. This is actually, I have sourced by rate. Actually, of all those factors, the first year in 2006, the rate was the only thing that was significant. I put the source up there just to kind of demonstrate that. I was a little surprised that, you know, we did meet the 4,000 pounds, but really we didn't get any benefit to applying additional nitrogen that particular year, which that was a little bit surprising to me, but we did get our, you know, at least hit that 4,000 pound target. And which that coincides with the 30 pounds or 1 ton to the acre that we had kind of mentioned before. If we go in 2007 and look at biomass production, we did have a timing by rate application. And you can see that regardless of which end source you applied, you seem to favor fall application. And although the fall application was not significant in 2006, it did trend towards being higher. And it basically, if you average those two together, you generally got about a 25% increase in biomass production on your cover crop by applying it in the fall versus the spring. If we look at 2006 lint yields, the first thing that jumps out is where we had zero cover crop, or zero into the cover and zero into the cotton, met 1,100 pounds to the acre lint. And that would suggest, you know, we had a lot of residual fertility. But, you know, on the other hand, we apply that nitrogen and we did get a rate response on the cover crop. And, you know, there really shouldn't have been a lot of residual N present there following that cover crop. So I really don't have a good explanation of why that yield was so high. I think, you know, if I didn't have to put out anything, I could make that. I might take that every time, you know. The other thing to point out is, you know, it didn't matter if when we came back in side dress with 90 pounds, you can see, obviously, we had a response regardless of what we applied in the fall. And the poultry litter seemed to produce higher yields than commercial fertilizer that was applied to the cover crop. The other thing that kind of jumped out was at the three tons per acre just to the cover crop. You know, we made about 1,500 pounds, which was very comparable to when we just put out 90 pounds only to the cotton. So that was, you know, that was kind of surprising. If we go to 2007 and look at the lint yields, we had a timing by side dress interaction. And by timing, I'm talking about cover crop timing of application with the side dress end rates. And if you look where we applied 90 pounds, we really didn't see any difference. But when we didn't apply any additional nitrogen to the cotton crop, the spring applied in to the cover crop favored higher lint yields. And that kind of makes sense. You know, it's not going to be as available to the cover crop for that period of time. Maybe it's going to coincide better with nitrogen uptake and so forth, which is obviously just the opposite of what we talked about. If we were trying to maximize biomass production, it was, you know, it was better to apply it in the fall. Did have a rate by side dress, cotton cover rate by side dress rate interaction here. The first thing, if we just look at zero N, you can see that, you know, you can see the effects of the poultry litter. And again, of course, the yield wasn't as high, but at 3 tons to the acre of poultry litter, you know, we were, I don't know, 1,200 pounds or so of lint, not nearly as high as that last time. But you can see the effects of the poultry litter, which would make sense, it breaking down, mineralizing more so. Releasing more nitrogen and probably the other nutrients that are in the poultry litter as well supplemented that. If we look at 90 pounds, you know, this kind of shows the benefit of increasing that biomass. We talked about applying 30 pounds. You can see this jump here from whether we applied 30 pounds of N or as 1 ton of poultry litter. So, you know, it does pay to put out to try to maximize that biomass. Really didn't see any kind of, you know, this is pretty flat here, actually decreasing slightly. So there wasn't a benefit to having these higher end rates to the cover crop and then coming back with 90 pounds to the acre. The other thing I wanted to look at is this is kind of a, I'm calling this profit after fertilizer. I didn't really know what to call it. I was trying to take into account the differences in fertilizer costs and also times of application because we were using different sources. We had UAN involved there, ammonium nitrate, and then the poultry litter. And it really kind of fell out almost. It followed along with the yields. Of course, the profits are not going to be near this high. We hadn't subtracted off seed costs, all that kind of stuff. It's just kind of a relative comparison. And you can see, you know, this right here, this point would be what a grower, I think, could do is really what we recommend when we're talking about 30 pounds to the cover crop and 90 pounds to the acre on your cotton, and that's where you fall out at. And you know, there's not a lot of increase there with the poultry litter. It is trending higher, but it's not that much, not significantly different. The one thing that's interesting is if you look at some of these other rates here, you know, they're creeping up, and I should have put it for this rate also, because I think what would be interesting is to look at you know, I couldn't have a bunch of rates on the cotton after I'd already put all those factors in with the cover crop. But now that I kind of got a better idea with the cover crop, we can come back with rates, maybe, you know, like here, maybe 30 pounds of N or something if we had 0, 30, 60, and 90 and see where this falls out with the cover crop. I'm sorry, with the poultry litter applied to the cover crop or 1 ton to the cover crop, 1 ton to the poultry, to the cotton crop. You know, where does that stuff fall out? So those are the kind of things we can take a look at. In conclusion, just really, as I said, this is all preliminary. This is still ongoing. We're talking about maximizing biomass. Really need fall applied N fertilizer would be more beneficial than spring N. The poultry litter, not necessarily fall applied, but poultry litter in general, I made a mistake there, can benefit the cover crop and the subsequent cotton crop. And then, as I said, future work, we want to focus on poultry litter as a covering source with either reduced side dress rates or maybe a lower poultry litter rates, and compare that to our more traditional conservation systems. So with that, I appreciate your time.